Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Now imagine this platform aimed at allowing users to buy and sell fantasy stocks in athletes. I mean, would you take a shot at such a fantasy sport platform? Well, Singapore-based Beryllium, an innovative game development startup that is integrating trading mechanisms with emerging sectors such as fantasy sports, they have recently announced that it secured a $3 million US dollar investment for its pre-Series A round led by Bullpen Capital. The investors in the round include Singapore-based Genting Ventures and existing investor Velo Partners, following a $600,000 seed round in November 2019. So this company was founded back in 2019, and the founder recognized the challenges and difficulties that many young people face when it comes to aspects of finance and trading. But there was a vision to ensure trading engages the younger generation. So the firm believes that trading should be expanded beyond traditional markets, and they aim to ensure that users across all sectors and industries are able to trade in a digitally native, experience-driven manner. It sounds really interesting, but I want to find out more about Beryllium's platform and their plans after the recent funding. On the line with me this morning is Amir Makija, who is founder of Beryllium. Good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Elliot. Thank you for having me here.
So interesting, this topic. I can't wait to get into it. But first, let's talk about Beryllium, Singapore-based sports and fintech-oriented game development firm. It's about bringing trading mechanisms to game design. What else could you tell us about the company?
Now, first of all, you did a very, very good job of giving an overview on what we were doing. But just to give you a little bit of perspective and context into, you know, why we started this product and what we do, the whole idea was to, exactly like you said, bring the mechanics that we see in trading and bring that into something that a lot of people in our generation, the younger generation, want to understand and do understand very well, which is their sport. And the whole idea was that we have this extremely engaged, very long-term retained user behavior that we see in trading, but it always has this fundamental blocker of a very high bar of knowledge that's required to become a long-term successful trader.
Sure.
And on the other hand, we see, you know, the connection and the emotive connection that people have to this sport and the inherent knowledge that's there from a very young age. And the whole idea was that how are we able to bring this long-term retained user behavior and bring that to something that has a mass and global appeal of sport, to merge these two sectors together and to create a very valuable long-term product. That's what we're doing now here at Beryllium. We're a game design firm, very, very fully focused on bringing the mechanics that we see in trading into a lot of new sectors. We started off with fantasy sports, and that's kind of the first set of suite of games that we're building. But the whole, like exactly like you said, the goal is not for us to end here, but to take it far beyond that as we continue to scale and grow.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, okay, I understand you mentioned briefly that there is that focus on sport, but I mean, why sports in particular? Is there any chance you could dive into the different type of sports that this platform, you know, I mean, and you know, probably expand on how the platform itself works? And
of course.
Is it really male focused since it's sports? Am I assuming too much?
No. So the whole idea is that I think exactly, you know, the best way to dig into this is to look at an example of the first game that we have built, which is a 6-year game targeted to the cricket audience in India.
Oh.
So we've licensed this game out to companies in India to start launching their fantasy products there. And the entire objective of the game is we've created a fantasy marketplace where users can buy and sell fantasy stocks in cricket players. The better they play in real time, the price goes up and vice versa. So the whole objective that users have is to build a portfolio of athletes and cricketers that they think are going to do well over a longer period of time and to invest and trade on those athletes. So, I mean, looking at your personal background, I know that you're a big fan of football. And so which team do you support, Ben, you chance, by the way?
Okay, well, I'm a Manchester United fan.
So just think about it like this. You know, if you were able to trade stocks in, say, Marcus Rashford before he became the superstar that he is today, it would bring a whole new objective and your engagement to the sport. And that was kind of our thesis. Our thesis was that fans of sports have a very good, or always try to have a very good inkling about who they think are going to become the next superstars, who they think are going to become the next major players and success stories in the sport. And now we want to give that engagement behavior that you see in the trading world, but we're actually bringing it to the sport that you know and love very well. I mean, that's what we've done now with cricket in India. We've created a fantasy product where users are able to trade cricketers that they know and love very well. And the whole objective is to drill into, create more sports like this through the 6-year platform in India, but also to expand into multiple countries as they continue to scale abroad as well.
Mm, you would like an emerging football player to, say, a stock in 5G. That's something emerging and eventually is going to be a part of everyone's lives. I completely get that, and I think it's a brilliant idea. And I get the association with cricket in India. Is there a particular reason why, I mean, you brought that up as an example, is there a particular reason why you've decided to target the market in India? Is there some kind of share that you could share with us?
It's a great question, and actually I think, you know, the India story is actually very much connected to how Beryllium was founded. I want to just take a step back and, you know, walk you through the steps that led to Beryllium being where it is today, and also the goals of what we have, and,
sure,
and that's how India really fits into it. And funnily enough, Beryllium really started here in Singapore in 2017 at the Formula One Grand Prix right here. And one of my very good friends, Hanad, and I were having a conversation about how interesting would it be if we were able to trade stocks in the drivers themselves.
And
if you recall the Formula One Grand Prix of that year, it was that exceptional crash in the first of turn one, and there was so much excitement that was going on, and we were discussing, yes, this is very exciting, but wouldn't it be exciting if you knew that Max Verstappen is going to be a future star in this sport? And this conversation didn't end up just becoming a single conversation, and it ended up becoming a spark that led to me digging in and understanding what would it actually entail to create a marketplace where people could trade in athletes. And the more research that I did, the more I understood that there were two very interesting macro trends that were taking place. And if you rewind the clock, this is now late 2017, early 2018. The world that we see, the world that was there then, is very different than the one that we see today. So we had retail investing in the U.S. with the likes of Robinhood that was still actually in their very nascent stages. There were nothing like the behemoths that we see today, where Robinhood basically controls vast swaths of the trading market. And on the other hand, you were seeing the establishment of large fantasy sports companies in the U.S., like the likes of DraftKings and FanDuel, that were becoming pretty much household names. And when I was looking at Asia, when I was looking at emerging markets like India and Asia, I was seeing that these two trends would be very applicable. You were looking at retail trading that was going to start becoming more ubiquitous in India. At that time, the trading platform Zerodha was still actually very, very small. And then Dream 11, which is now the biggest trading fantasy sports company in India, had less than 7 million users and 100 million users today. So my thesis was that we could see this growth in retail trading that was going to take place. Fantasy sports, especially in a very sports-driven country like India, was also going to become very large. But I felt that from a financial perspective, from a product market perspective, there were going to be fundamental blockers in both sides of the aisle. You were looking at retail trading, as something that people are expecting almost 80 to 90 million people in India to start trading. And what we've seen today is, yes, brokerage accounts have really fundamentally increased. They've gone from about 3 to 4 million brokerage accounts to almost now 45 to 50 million brokerage accounts. But 75% of brokerage accounts are inactive. And the sole reason that I'd almost predicted this to happen was because there's always going to be a fundamental knowledge barrier that kicks in for a large swath of audience to become engaged traders in the securities markets. And on the other hand, we have seen fantasy sports do an exceptional job of being available to a large audience base. But to retain that engagement over a long period of time is very complicated, because the games become very repetitive and in a way, non-exciting.
Yes.
And my whole thesis as a founder was, always look for an opportunity where you can leverage inherent user traits and create a very new value proposition. And that's what we've done in Beryllium. Our whole thesis is, we know that people interested in trading, people understand buy and selling, but they might not understand what to buy and sell. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make what part a lot more interesting to everyone, a lot more engaging to everyone, and a lot more valuable to everyone.
I mean, a local audience right now that's listening probably would be asking the question, okay, you've gotten to cricket here in Singapore. You know, football is probably one of the more popular ones. You can totally see how you could liken this game to a Formula One season in that sense. But for background, you know, the fantasy sports market is expected to be worth something like $48.6 billion by the year 2027. American football, where fantasy sports is concerned, is the most popular segment, followed by baseball, basketball, ice hockey, and cricket. So you've got that one right there. What does this say in terms of expanding the genres of sports for this platform?
Great question. So, you know, in Singapore, the local favorite is always going to be football. But our focus is actually to understand the global audience of sport in general. And how does the market actually solve a lot of these gaps that exist? So exactly like you said, you know, American football, baseball, cricket, these are sports that are already quite covered in the fantasy world in established fantasy markets like the US and Europe and India. But we feel that our product is very much able to solve the fantasy problem in sports such as tennis and golf, for example, individual sports, where creating a team of athletes, which is the default fantasy formula, mm-hmm. does not really apply. It's very difficult to create a team of five tennis players in an individual sport normally you only maybe support one or two or three tennis players.
Yeah.
That's exactly what we're trying to do here at Brilliant. We're trying to say, what are the different opportunities that apply to us that everyone else is not able to take an advantage of because the product that they have built caters to a very different underlying mechanics. And so our next focus is to launch tennis in India and then potentially to just start looking at the U.S. market and different opportunities there, which is where our access to the knowledge and experience of the likes of Bullpen Capital becomes very paramount and support and very helpful to us.
Yeah, I mean, it's so fascinating how far this can go. But I do have to talk to you. I wish I could go on about this platform, but I do have to talk to you about the pre-series A round. You guys secured $3 million. Plans for the funds and, you know, you went to Bullpen and you just mentioned briefly why you're working with them. Could you expand more a little bit about that?
Love to talk about that. I'm actually one of the founders that is a very, very big believer in cold outreach and cold emailing. Both of our funding rounds have been because of cold email and cold outreach. And this is to any entrepreneur that's listening out there. You do not need to know someone to get invested, to get funded. In the case of my first round, I was working full-time at this company called L2 Inc. with someone called Scott Galloway, very famous digital strategist in the U.S. And on the side, I was starting to build out the Brilliant platform. And I started speaking at a lunchtime, essentially, to start pitching to VC funds, which is how we closed our first investor Velo Partners. But this round, you know, with the pandemic, it's a bit hard to sneak out at lunchtimes.
Yeah.
But instead, I was relegated to sending cold emails out to some of the VC funds that I believed were going to be great partners for Brilliant with the product that we were building. And Paul Martino, the managing partner of Bullpen, was on the board of FanDuel. Like I said earlier, one of the greatest success stories in fantasy sports in the U.S. Mm-hmm. Bullpen was one of the earliest investors in FanDuel as well. And I felt that there was no better fit for us as a company in this space at this time to get an investor like them on board. So I just sent them a cold email. You know, long story short, we ended up connecting, ended up pitching to Paul and explaining what we were doing, what we're building, what our idea was overall. And he really bought into it. We went through 2-3 months of due diligence, really grilling into the numbers. How are we actually just in a very different user mechanic behavior? How are we converting at a very different level than our competitors? Our average deposit volume considerably different from that of our competitors. And all these added up, and we ended up closing the round with them as our lead because of, at the end of the day, a very, very simple, quick LinkedIn search and a cold email. So I do think 95% of the time, no one's going to respond to you, but the 5% that they do, they can end up becoming very, very valuable to you.
Yeah, never ever underestimate the old school method of a cold email or a cold call for that matter. Love it.
Never ever.
I've been speaking with Ame Makija, who is founder of Brilliant. Really appreciate your time this morning. You take care and stay safe, yeah?
Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.